With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames, Amanda Redman as Fleur, and Gary Bond as Michael. Episode 10.
There we are, Tim. Half a biscuit for you and half for me.
Fleur Mont, for it was nearly 2 years since she'd ceased to be Fleur Forsyte, always had tea brought in rather early so that she could have a good, quiet, preliminary tuck-in all by herself.
How shall we make this room more Chinese, Ting, without making it uncomfortable?
Tingling was standing on his hind feet, his tawny forepaws on a Chinese foot.
The Forsyte Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatised by David Spencer.
His snubbed black and tawny muzzle turned up towards the fruits of his philosophy.
I must be careful how I bunch the guests tomorrow. No, Ducky, not the cake. Later.
The house in South Square, Westminster, to which the young Monts had come after their Spanish honeymoon, might have been called emancipated. It followed no recognised style or tradition and was devoid of structural prejudice.
That'll do, Ting. No more, Ducky. No more. There they are, Ting. I haven't really thought about tomorrow yet.
Fur decided not to have more than 3 styles in her house. The Chinese, Spanish for the dining room, and her own for the rest. The Chinese room ran the breadth of the house with ivory panels, a copper floor, central heating and cut glass lustres.
Draw up. Tea for all?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Queen, sir?
We met Bart outside Dambier Winter.
Bart was Sir Lawrence Mont, 9th Baronet and Michael's father. Dambier Winter were the publishers where Michael worked. And Wilfred Desert was Michael's best man, best friend, and most successful writer.
Michael's taking me to see Aubrey Green's new cartoons.
Oh, Aubrey's coming tomorrow. We're getting to know him quite well.
Whom are you not getting to know? Your house is becoming quite a menagerie of celebrities.
Of more or less celebrities.
Just as well this is such a spacious room.
Fleur aimed at space, collecting people rather than furniture or bibelots.
And how was the great meeting at Snooks Club?
Momentous. Le Roi est mort.
Oh.
Lloyd George, dead.
As a leader, he made a bad mistake. Wanted to fight a general election on another coalition ticket. Lloyd George has resigned.
Oh.
Quite amusing.
How dramatic.
Mm-hmm. So Labour can start lying, Michael. Election next month. You'll no doubt want to help your friends to power.
Oh, you're not going to canvass for Labour, Michael. Canvassing's so silly. If anyone canvassed me, I should vote the other way at once.
Yes, darling, but you're not the average elector.
How sweetly put. I suppose I'm not modern enough.
As much more modern than the moderns, as you are more ancient.
Where poetry?
And how are your poems selling, Mr. Desert?
Michael says all right, but I can't turn it out anymore.
Oh, copper coins selling like hotcakes. Some poet, Bart, I tell you, you must read him.
And Wilfred should read your imaginary conversation between Gladstone and Disraeli. They're dead, aren't they?
Oh, quite dead.
I meant, of course, when they converse in the book.
You were in the war, Mr. Desert?
Oh, yes.
Air service?
And line. A bit of both.
Yeah. Hard on a poet.
Not at all. Poetry is only possible when you may be blown up at any moment.
Is there not another condition favourable?
And that, sir?
Certain cerebral agitation in connection with women.
Come, Governor. Aubrey Green's cartoons await.
Ah, yes. Thank you for the tea, Fleur. Do you find reality in politics, Mr. Desert?
Do you find reality in anything, sir?
In income tax, perhaps?
Kindly tell me what you meant, Wilfred.
About reality?
About me being more modern and more ancient.
What does it matter? I don't want to waste time with that.
But I want to know. It sounded like a sneer.
A sneer from me, Fleur.
Then tell me.
I meant that you have all their restlessness and practical get-there-ness, But you have what they haven't, Fleur. Power to turn one's head. And mine is turned. You know it.
How would Michael like that? From you, his best man. Up you come, then, Tim.
Yes, ugly, isn't it? Put that damn dog down, Fleur. I can't see your face. If you were really fond of Michael, I swear I wouldn't. But you're not, you know.
You know very little. I am fond of Michael.
Oh, yes. Not the sort that counts.
It counts quite enough to make one safe.
A flower that I can't pick.
Yes.
Quite sure, Fleur. Quite sure.
Yes.
The moment I believe that, I shall go east.
East?
Not so stale as going west. But much the same. You don't come back.
I should love to know the east.
You won't keep me in your zoo, my dear. I shan't hang around and feed on crumbs like that dog. You know what I feel. It means a smash of some sort.
It hasn't been my fault, has it?
Yes. You've collected me. As you collect everybody that comes near you.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't be annoyed with me. I'm too unhappy.
Sorry, Wilfred.
All right, dear. I'll go.
But you're coming to dinner tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Good God, no! What do you think I'm made of?
I don't like violence, Wilfred.
Well, goodbye. I'd better go.
Poor Wilfred. But it's nice to have a flame at which to warm one's hands. Tomorrow, our second wedding anniversary. And still that ache for... No sentimentalism, I mustn't think about it. I won't. Now, whom shall I put next to whom? And who shall I get to replace Wilfred if Wilfred won't come, silly boy? Don't lick the copper floor, darling. Nasty. Gurdon Minnow? Just one writer of the old school, one glass of old wine to mellow the new sparkle. Quiet, ducky. You can come with me while I dress for the concert.
May I kiss you?
My dear boy, there isn't time. Help me with this frock, will you? Those three top hooks. How do you like it? Oh, and Michael, Wilfred can't come tomorrow, so I telephoned your Aunt Alison, and she thinks she can get Gurdon Minhoe. Have you read his things? Novels, aren't they? Tell me something about them.
Well, he's always had something to say, and his cats are good. He's a bit romantic, of course.
Oh, have I made a gaffe?
Not a bit. Jolly good shot. The vice of our lot is they say it pretty well, but they've nothing to say. They won't last.
But that's just why they will last. They won't date.
Won't they, by gum?
Wilfred will last.
Oh, Wilfred has emotions, hates, pities, wants. At least sometimes. When he has, his stuff is jolly good. Otherwise, he just makes a song about nothing, like the rest.
But, Michael, if that's so, I've got the wrong lot.
My dear child, the lot of the hour is always right. The really big people don't talk and don't bunch. They paddle their own canoes in what seems backwaters. But it's the backwaters that make the mainstream. By Jove, that's a bow.
Oh, do be serious, Michael. You never give me any help in arranging... No! Don't maul my shoulders. Your chin is like a boot brush.
Oh, sorry, old thing. Your shoulders shouldn't be so smooth. What did you think of Bart's tip to Wilfred?
What was that?
The state of love is good for a poet.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps he's forestalled Bart's tip. Has he, do you know?
If you don't know, nobody does. Right, now for the Hugo Solstice concert. I can't really sleep to that music. Cloak, Michael.
Well, I tried once. It's like having a nap in Liège railway station.
Darling.
Such colours.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Interesting, wasn't it?
Interesting. Yes, wasn't it, Aubrey? Oh, look, there's Wilfred. Fetch him, Michael. Wilfred pretended not to see me. He has no right to leave me in the lurch. He must learn not to think physically. No, I can't let him slip away.
Wilfred's got the hump tonight, says he's not fit for human society. Queer old son.
I'm tired, Michael. Let's go home. The rest is only Beethoven.
Oh, sorry, old thing. Well, come along. I'll nick a rickshaw.
I can't have any more sob stuff in my life. Wilfred will have to learn that. No searing passions, no cul-de-sacs. No more dull, dull aches.
Well, Fleur, am I going east?
Oh, Rupert, you're very silly.
Anything you like. Am I going east?
No. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock at the Tate. We'll talk it out.
Comprenez.
Is he really going to be unmanageable?
Fleur! Taxi!
Oh, yes. Coming! John's poem from Spain. A voice in the night crying. I can't sleep. Michael's such a dear. Even slept on a Spanish sofa for that first fortnight of our honeymoon. Would it break my heart if he went east or west tomorrow? Is that a cry? An echo? A dream? John? Wilfred? Michael? No use to have a heart.
Well, I like his plays.
I want the evening to be perfect, but it could be a nightmare.
Absolutely.
Is it a success? Do they all think Minho's been dug up? He's so clearly less brilliant than any of them. At least the crab soup plays good. Mrs. Michael Mont presented a brilliant evening. Irrelevancies abounded. Yes, but was it a success?
You're writing like Marcel Proust, Walter.
With a pen, yes.
Is it perfect? Things don't fit. Nothing ever quite fits. One can never get anything one wants. Yes, the evening was brilliant. But was it really a success? Wilfred should have been here.
I don't know why you asked me to come, Fleur. I'm a bit of Ming that you don't want to lose. But it's not good enough, my dear. It's just not good enough.
How horrible of you, Wilfred.
Ah, here for the second time is the picture of Eve sniffing the flowers of paradise. Here we part. Give us your flipper.
Wilfred, I don't know. I want time. I can't bear you to be unhappy. Don't go away. Perhaps I shall be unhappy too. I don't know.
Cheer up, my child. You'll be over all that in a fortnight. I'll send you something to make up. Why shouldn't I make it China? One place is as good as another. I'll send you a bit of real Ming of a better period than this.
You're insulting, don't...
I'm sorry. I don't want to leave you angry.
What is it you want of me?
Oh, come now. This is going over old ground. I want nothing, Fleur. Except a blessing in your hand. Give it to me, come on.
You think I'm made of ice? Well, I'm not.
Let's drop it, Fleur. It isn't any good.
You will be a fool to go. Wait.
Fleur?
Just wait. Wait. Why can't one be carefree and take anything that comes along? There's not that much love in the world that one can afford to pass by and ignore it. Oh, Lord, there's Father of all people. Did he see us? Could he have done? Father!
Fleur!
You up in town? Come along to lunch. I have to get home quick.
What were you doing in the Tate?
I take an interest in art, darling, as well as you.
How's your... How's Michael?
Oh, he's all right. A little frail. We had a dinner last night.
Anniversary? Yes. I was bringing you something. Anybody to lunch?
Only Bart.
Old Mont. Oh, Lord.
Don't you like Bart, dear?
Well, he and I have nothing in common. He's a reactionary.
He did get you onto the board of the Providential Premium Reassurance Society.
Yes, I want to talk to him about that. I'm none too happy.
I thought you were delirious about it. Oh, there's Ting. Give him to me, Ellen.
Yes, miss.
No Ting found.
Are you coming to the PPRS board on Tuesday?
Tuesday? Well, Michael and I were going to shoot the spinnies.
I should let them wait. We settle a report on Tuesday.
Yes, but...
Well, I'm not easy about things. If I'd realised how that chap Elderson ruled the roost, I doubt if I should have come onto that board.
The managing director, Elderson, his grandfather was my grandfather's parliamentary agent at the time of the Reform Bill.
Well, I don't believe in trusting a man's judgment as far as we trust his. I don't like this foreign insurance.
My dear Forsyte, he's a first-rate head, Elderson. I've known him all my life. We were at Winchester together.
Oh, on that board, it seems everyone went to Winchester together. Oh, that dog's sitting up on a chair. Well, what do you want? Its eyes will drop out one of these days. Believe the little brute likes me, always looking at me. Poor fellow. Oh, by the way, don't mention what I said.
Oh, my dear Forsyte. What was that?
Oh, good heavens.
The Providential Premium Reassurance Society was so imposing a concern, and Soames had been connected with it so short a time, that it seemed to him presumptuous to smell a rat. After the lunch at Fleur's, two more wakeful early mornings had screwed him to the pitch of bringing his doubts to a head at the board meeting.
I cannot, must not be placed in any dubious position. My first general meeting's only 6 weeks off. I can't face the shareholders without knowing exactly where I stand. Elderson. That sweetish face, that bald head, rather like Julius Caesar's. With this rising and falling currency, we could never know our exact liability. We're just gambling.
You can't be surprised that Mr. Danby has given you the sack, Bickett. You were discovered with 5 copies of Mr. Dessert's book, Copper Coin, in your overcoat pocket.
Yes, Mr. Mond.
It's obvious you were going to sell them.
I don't deny that, Mr. Mond. What would you do? I ask you, sir. I owe rent. My wife's had pneumonia and needs nourishment, and needs it bad. And I can't live on my wages with prices what they are. I can't, Mr. Mont, so help me.
But look here, Bickett, if we let you snoop copies, all the packers will snoop copies. And if they do, where are Danby and Winter? In the cart. And if they're in the cart, where are all of you? In the street. It's better that one of you should be in the street than all of you should, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I quite see your point. It's reason. But I can't live on reason. The least thing knocks you out when you're on the breadline. Please ask Mr. Danby to give me another chance, sir. With all this unemployment and no reference, I'll never get another job. What about my wife?
I'll ask Mr. Danby, Bickett, but I don't think he'll change his mind. You had 5 copies. It's pretty stiff, you know. Means you've had them before, doesn't it, what?
Well, Mr. Mont, I don't mind confessing. I've had a few previous, and it's just about kept my wife alive. You've no idea what that pneumonia's like for poor people.
How old's your wife?
Only a girl. 20.
20? My wife's the same age. Oh, hang it, hang it. But look here, Bickett, you were reckoning on those 5 copies. Take this to make up and get your wife what's necessary. Only, for goodness sake, don't tell Mr. Danby.
Oh, Mr. Mont, I wouldn't deceive you for the world. I won't say a word, sir. And my wife, well...
Right, right.
All this, I am not satisfied that these accounts disclose our true position. I want the board adjourned to this day week, Mr. Chairman, and during the week I want every member of the board furnished with exact details of the foreign contract commitments which do not mature during the present financial year. Unless there's a material change for the better on the continent, which I don't anticipate, I fully expect those commitments will put us in Queer Street next year. What we have not got in these accounts, Elderson, is the relative proportion of foreign risk to home risk. In the present state of things, a vital matter.
There will be no difficulty about that, I imagine, Elderson.
Hardly at all, then.
But in any case, Mr. Forsyte, we should hardly be justified in penalising the present year for the sake of eventualities which we hope will not arise.
Yeah. But we have not enough information, Mr. Chairman. That is my point.
Mr. Forsyte seems to be indicating a lack of confidence in the management.
Am I to have that information?
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Mothergill.
Perhaps the board could be adjourned. I could come up myself at a pinch. Possibly we could all attend. mind. The policy of foreign contracts is undoubtedly somewhat new to us. I'm sure we have the utmost confidence in the judgment of our managing director.
Yes, yes, yes.
Still, as Mr. Forsyth has asked for this information, I think perhaps we ought to have it.
Quite right. When do the accounts go out, Elderson?
Normally at the end of this week.
These are not normal times. To be quite plain, unless I have that information, I must tender my resignation.
Well, we will adjourn the board to this day week. You'll be able to get us those figures, Elderson?
Certainly.
Well, Forsyth, you gave us quite a shock with your alternative. First time I remember anything of the sort on that board.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, I generally have a nap. Gets very hot in there. Wish I'd stuck to Miss Spinney's. By the way, Forsyth, I wanted to say, with all this modern birth control and the rest of it, one gets uneasy. Hmm? Oh, we're not the royal family, but don't you feel with me it's time there was a movement in heirs?
Well, there's plenty of time.
I don't like that dog, Forsyth.
Dog? Well, what's that to do with it?
I like a baby to come before a dog. Dogs and poets distract young women. My grandmother had 5 babies before she was 27. She was a Mountjoy. Wonderful breeders. You remember them? The 7 Mountjoy sisters? All pretty. Old Mountjoy had 47 grandchildren. You don't get it nowadays, Forsyth.
The country's overpopulated.
By the wrong sort. Less of them, more of ourselves. It's almost a matter for legislation.
Talk to your son.
Ah, yes, but they think us fogies, you know.
I'll resign. But then, what about all the members of the family who put money into this thing just because I'm a director? I wish they wouldn't follow me like a lot of sheep. Oh, well, things could be worse, I suppose.
In Piccadilly, Soames moused along on the park side, taking his customary look up at the Iseeum Club. The curtains were drawn, and chinks of light glowed long and cosy.
I haven't seen George in that bay window for months. Someone say he was ill. Well, George has always eaten and drunk too much. It wouldn't be surprising. I wonder how he is.
Mr. George Forsyth in the club?
Mr. Forsyth, sir, he's very ill indeed. They say he won't recover, sir.
What? Nobody told me.
Well, it's very bad. Very bad indeed. It's the heart.
The heart? Where is he?
Well, at his room, sir. Just round the corner. They say the doctors have given him up. He will be missed here. 40 years I've known him. I shall miss his jokes. I shall indeed.
If George really is in extremis, it's quite unnatural. He's 66, only a year younger than I am. Comes of not leading a careful life. Always rackety, George. And who is this?
A woman, age uncertain in the shaded light, was sitting in a very high-backed chair before the fire, with her elbow on the arm of it and a handkerchief held to her face.
Not a lady.
I'm to take you in, sir.
Ah.
The whole of one wall of George Forsyth's bedroom was occupied by an immense piece of furniture, all cupboards and drawers. Over the fireplace was a single picture.
What? It's Chinese.
A large, whitish, sidelong monkey holding the rind of a squeezed fruit in its outstretched paw. Its whiskered face looked back at Soames with brown, almost human eyes.
What on earth made someone as inartistic as George buy something like that?
Hello, Soames. Come to measure me for my coffin.
Well, George, you'll pick up yet. You're no age. Is there anything I can do for you?
Make me a codicil. You'll find paper in the dressing table drawer.
Well, what would you like to say, George?
To Millie Moyle of 12 Claremont Grove. £12,000 free of legacy duty.
It's a lot of money.
Write it down, or I'll leave her the lot.
The vicar, sir, has called. He wants to know if you'd like to see him.
Give him my compliments. And say I'll see him at the funeral.
Yes, sir.
Before you go, just witness this.
Sign here.
See, she gets it, Soames. I can trust you. That's one thing about you.
Would you like to see her again?
No. What's the good? Give me a cigar from that drawer.
Ought you?
Never in my life done what I ought. Not going to begin now. Cut it for me.
Soames didn't want to take the responsibility of lighting the cigar, and George did not ask for a match. George lay quite still, the unlighted cigar between his pale lips, the curved lids down over his eyes.
Goodbye. I'm gonna have a snooze.
Goodbye. I hope you'll soon...
Well, darling, are you pleased to see me, then?
Hello, darling.
Oh. Hello, Michael. I'm rather late. I've been to the club and walked home. Oh, I'm tired.
Mm.
Your ears are sticking up so nicely tonight, Michael.
We're not going out tonight, are we?
Of course we are. It's Alison's monthly.
Oh, Lord. If you're tired, we could cut that.
My dear Imposs. She's got all sorts of people coming.
Righto. War paint?
Yes, white waistcoat. I like you in white waistcoats. Oh, confusion. I wanted to be Parisian. Proust. I wanted to know what it was like. But I was rushed to go.
Fleur.
I said I'd come and see all your junk.
I never thought you would.
Of course, I'm not prepared to commit myself, not to the physical. But now I know the fire I've been playing with. Wilfred's tormented. A quarter of an hour of real life, and I'm not sure I like it. Loved by two men at once. Yes, it's a pleasant feeling. After all, he only gave me one kiss, and I didn't return it. I wonder what I'd be feeling now if things had gone further. On the whole, the visit was disillusioning. Look, Michael, there's Gordon Minow. I must avoid him.
Yes?
It's pointless to waste time on artists and writers. I can meet them anywhere.
Oh,
yes, there's Mr. Chalfont now. He's a big bug. Oh, Mr. Chalfont!
Mond! Mond! Come here.
So sorry.
What's wrong, Wilfred? You've got to know. I'm in love with Fleur.
What?
I'm not going to play the snake. You're up against me, I'm sorry. But there it is. You can punch away if you like.
A cigarette?
Yes, right.
Fleur knows.
She doesn't know I'm telling you. Wouldn't have let me. You're nothing against her.
Yes. No.
I couldn't help it.
Oh, it's decent of you to tell me.
But aren't you going to clear out?
I thought so, but it seems not.
I don't understand.
If I knew for certain, I'd no chance. But I don't. Look here, it's no good keeping the gloves on. I'm desperate. And I'll take her from you if I can.
Good God! To the limit!
Yes. But when I think of you going home with her, and myself, I'm desperate.
Well, as this isn't a Dostoevsky novel, I suppose there's no more to be said.
You realise at least I've gone out of my way. Perhaps dished myself by telling you.
Yes.
You can chuck my books over to some other publisher. Good night, then. Sorry for being so primitive.
When Vicky reached home, his wife, Victorine, was sitting before a very little gas fire. Her bobbed black hair, crinkly towards the ends, had grown during her illness.
Well, Tony?
I bought some things. This meat jelly's a bit of all right, eh? A tin of Benger's food to make with water, and I've paid the rent. Have you been breathing?
All right. Much better. I'll soon be out now.
Yeah. News isn't bright. I lost my job, Vic.
Oh, Tony. Why?
Fact is, things are slack and they're reducing.
Oh, dear. What shall we do then?
Don't you worry. I'll get something.
But you like that job?
Well, I like some of the fellas, yeah. But as for the job, why, what was it? Shall I tell you what I'd like, Vic?
What?
Well, I'd like Central Australia. I saw an advertisement. Brilliant blue butterflies. Oh, I'd like some sun. I'd like to see colour in your cheeks, Vic.
Well, how much does it cost to get out there?
A lot more than we can lay hands on, that's for sure. But I've been thinking, England's about done. There's too many like me.
No, there aren't enough.
What made you take a fancy to me?
Because you don't think of yourself first, that's why.
Used to before I knew you. But I'd do anything for you, Vic. Oh, if only we could wake up in Central Australia. Never mind. I'll get a job and earn the money yet.
They'll give you a good recommend, won't they?
Well, they would, but that job's overstocked. Here, you eat up the meat jelly and we'll get to bed early and dream of those brilliant blue butterflies.
I think, Michael, that Mr. Chalfont is overrated. He's nothing but a mental yawn. He's coming to lunch tomorrow week.
Fleur was sitting on the arm of a chair in the dim lavender pyjamas she sometimes wore just to keep in with things.
Who shall we get to meet him besides Alison?
Don't worry, we'll snare the just right cuckoo somehow. Fleur?
Mm-hmm.
Wilfred's been telling me.
Oh, what, business? How do you mean, telling you?
Just that he's in love with you. Nothing more. There is nothing more to tell, is there?
Of course there's nothing more. If Wilfred chooses to be so silly...
Is that the end of Wilfred, then?
The end? I don't know.
Well, don't forget, I love you awfully.
Am I likely to? Michael.
Well, they're playing the gramophone in the kitchen. Well, when the cat's away, the mice...
As Winifred Darty was out that evening, Soames went into dinner alone. Soames brooded.
How can old George joke at death's door? Heroism? If I can get hold of that white monkey, I will. It's a good thing. What happens to one after?
The telephone for you, sir.
I wonder if he's still got that cigar between his teeth. He's a funny fellow, George.
Yes?
Mr. Forsyte has passed away, sir.
In his sleep, the doctor says.
Oh, had he a cigar? Many thanks.
That woman. He'd never care £12,000 for a woman who smells of patchouli. No, it's a final jibe at the Forsytes. At me.
Balloons! Balloons!
Tony Pickett decided to spend his last little bit of capital on buying balloons to sell. Our thin capitalist, with 4 dozen big and 7 dozen small balloons on a tray, 2 shillings in his pocket and little in his stomach, took his stand off St. Paul's.
Balloon, sir? Mm-hmm. Best quality.
Balloon? Well, what should I want with a balloon?
Well, children like them. No weight, sir. Waistcoat pocket.
Oh, I dare say, but I've no children.
Grandchildren, sir?
Nor any grandchildren.
Thank you, sir.
Here, give me 2. How much?
1 shilling, sir. I'm much obliged.
Well, you can keep the change.
Much obliged again, sir. Phew. 250-odd% profit on those 2. I wonder if he was an alderman. They say those aldermen live on turtle soup.
Well, Mr. Forsyte, there are the figures. Are you satisfied?
Mr. Chairman, I'll agree to this year's dividend on condition that we drop this foreign business in future, lock, stock and barrel.
Yes. There's nothing in the foreign situation at the moment, Mr. Forsyte, which gives particular cause for alarm. I admit that we should watch it closely.
You can't. Here we are, 4 years after the armistice, and we know no more where we stand than we did then. We must drop it.
I should be glad, Mr. Chairman, if I might say a word.
Yes, Mr. Ellison.
The policy was of my initiation, and I think I may claim that it has been of substantial benefit to the society so far.
When, however,
a member of the board takes so strong a view against its continuance, I certainly don't press the board to continue it. The times are uncertain, and a risk, of course, is involved, however conservative our estimates.
That's very handsome of you, Elderson.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Chairman, I think we may say that it is very handsome of our manager.
Very confident. Very well, we are agreed then, gentlemen, that the report shall contain the announcement that in view of continental uncertainty, we are abandoning any foreign investment for the present.
Why? What's Elderson ratting for? Why is he veered round? Were the figures faked? Surely not. Yeah, but there's a shift and a blink about those steely eyes I just don't trust. Ah. South Square. Those balloon things are still in my pocket. If only there were a child at home I could give them to. Let's get Annette to speak to Fleur. No, why shouldn't I do it myself? I'm staying there. After dinner, perhaps. These young people. They eat life and throw away the rind and... Yes, I must buy that picture of George's, the white...
Sorry, sir.
not at all.
The best man. He looked in a hurry. Emotional type, I shouldn't wonder. Ah, here we are. In good time to change. Fleur likes everyone to dress for dinner.
If Michael couldn't find something better to do than go to a political meeting for a Labour candidate, and straight after dinner.
My child, now you've been married 2 years, I suppose you'll be looking towards the future.
The future?
There's a great deal of nonsense talked about children. The whole thing's much simpler. I hope you feel that.
Of course. And there's no hurry, Dad.
Well, I don't know. The French and the royal family have a very sound habit of getting it over early. There's many a slip, and it keeps them out of mischief. You get on well with Michael, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, then, why not? You must remember that your son will be a... what do you call it?
Mightn't be a son.
Well, at your age, that's easily remedied.
Oh, I don't want a lot, Dad. It's a tie. Like digging your own grave, in a way.
I shouldn't put it as high as that.
No man would, Dad.
Well, I thought I'd mention it. I've got your happiness at heart.
I know, Dad. I'm a selfish pig. I think about it. In fact, I have thought about it.
That's right, that's right. You've a good head on you. It's a great consolation to me. Well, good night, my dear.
Good night, Dad.
Well, what else to do with them? Well, put on the fire, they'd smell. I wonder if I ought to have asked her whether that young man who bumped into me... No, young people are best left alone. Oh, there we are.
Soames tied the balloons with bits of dental cotton he used on his teeth every night.
Green and purple. Into the night, out into the dark, floating about. People will see them in the morning. Well, what else can one do with things like that?
What on earth?
Fell on my hat. Must belong to heaven. Nope. Well, Jane likes it.
You are a baby, Michael. A balloon. I believe you bought it. How was the meeting?
Oh, the intellectuals, mostly. No tub-thumping. Sentiment is slop. Capitalism exposed as the cause of the war. The candidates spoke well. Oh, what a misfortune to be in love.
You think so?
Il y a toujours un qui baise, et l'autre qui ne t'en parle you.
But I do.
Fleur.
Baise away.
Oh. Oh, dash the dumps. That tune, we used to dance to it in the evenings at Maple Durham. Is there a comic side? There was absolutely nothing funny about love. Wife and best friend. Of course I trust Fleur. And Wilfred's so much more attractive than I am. How will it end? What peace of mind for me, for Wilfred, for Fleur? She does what she likes with me, and I know nothing about her. She tells me nothing that I can't ask. I can't even show that I'm anxious. Nothing to do but screw the lid on tighter. In the trenches, one thought, if I get out of this, I'll never mind anything again. But one does. Oh, one does.
Ah, Mr. Soames, there's a young man here to see you from the PPRS.
Oh?
Wouldn't give his business, said he wanted to see you privately.
What did he look like?
Nice, clean young man. I was quite favourably impressed. Name of Butterfield.
Well, let him know I'm here. Oh, and don't go when he comes, Gradman. I know nothing of him.
Yes. Mr. Forsyth's here, Mr. Butterfield. Mr. Butterfield, sir. You can state your business. Nothing goes outside these walls, young man.
I'm in the office of the PPRS, sir. The fact is, accident has just put some information in my hands. And I'm not easy in my mind.
But what's it all about?
The fact is, this morning, I overheard a private conversation.
Oh.
Yes, sir, I quite understand your tone, but the very first words did it. I simply couldn't make myself known after hearing them. I think you'll agree, sir.
Who were the speakers?
The manager, Mr. Elderson, and a man called Smith. I fancy by his accent his name's a bit more foreign. He's done most of the agenting for the German business.
What were those first words?
Well, sir, the manager was speaking, and then this Smith said, "Quite so, Mr. Elderson, but we haven't paid you a commission on all this business for nothing. If the mark goes absolutely fut, you will have to see that your society makes it good for us."
Where were you?
In the lobby between the manager's room and the boardroom.
And after that?
I heard Mr. Elderson say, Don't talk like that. And I slipped back into the boardroom.
Now, mind what you are saying. This is most serious.
I know that, sir. If I'd consulted my own interest, I'd never have come here. I'm not a sneak.
Are you prepared, if necessary, to repeat this to the board?
Well, sir, if you decide it's got to be taken up, I suppose I must go through with it.
Very well. You've not told anyone?
No, sir.
Then don't. Leave it to me.
Yes, of course, I remember your husband well, Mrs. Bickett. He was one of our packers.
And when you had to reduce, Tony was made redundant.
Yes, there was some difficulty.
Tony just sells balloons in the street now. I can't bear to see him. Over by St. Paul's he stands all day and there's no money in it. And we do so want to get out to Australia. But if you could take him back...
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Bickett, but we haven't a place for him. Are you all right again?
Oh, yes. Except that I can't get work again either.
Can't you? No, it must be difficult. Well, I'll have a talk with your husband.
Thank you, sir.
Look, I suppose you wouldn't like to sit for an artist for a book wrapper. It might lead to work in that line if you want it. You're just the type for a friend of mine. Do you know Aubrey Green's work?
No, sir.
It's pretty good. In fact, very good in a decadent way. You wouldn't mind sitting?
I wouldn't mind anything to save some money. But I'd rather you didn't tell my husband I'd been to see you. He might take it amiss.
All right, I'll see him by accident. Near St. Paul's, you said?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll write a note to Mr. Green and you can take it round to him. See what he says.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Hi there! Hi there!
French interrupt!
Yeah, the mark, Paul!
Hi there!
The tape of his city club showed Soames the mark falling to unheard-of depths.
It's already wiped out any possible profit on the next half year. Unless the wretched thing recovers, the PPRS will be carrying a dead load of German insurance. Why, it's plain as a pikestaff. For omitting a limit of liability, that chap Elderson got his commission. 10% probably on all that business. He must have netted thousands. But how to get proof? I'd better go and see if he can throw some light.
For such high premiums as I've been getting, Mr. Forsythe, a limited liability was not possible. The fall of the mark is a most outrageous development, and I'm afraid it must be considered just bad luck.
Unfortunately, there's no such thing as luck in properly regulated assurance. I shouldn't be surprised if an action lay against the board for gross negligence.
So, Mr. Mont sent you. Welcome to my studio.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Sir.
Will you sit for anything?
Yes, sir.
Would you mind taking your hat off? Shake your hair loose. Ah, I wonder. Just sit down on the dais, will you? This is your first shot, then. It's not as bad as having a tooth out, but it takes longer. The great thing is to keep awake.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, Miss...
Collins, sir. Victorine Collins.
Are you at large? Or have you any other occupation?
Not at present, sir. I'm married, but nothing else.
I'm just going to make a few sketches.
Oysters, so shabbily. My God.
Yes, it's a funny world, Bickett.
It is, and that's a fact, Mr. Mont. This lunch will cost you, at least a pound. And if I take 25 bob a week, it's all I do.
Oh, you've hit it there, Bickett. I eat my conscience every day.
No, sir. If you've got money, spend it. I would. Be happy if you can. There ain't too many that are. Here's luck. Oh, I wish to God I had my wife here, sir. She's the prize I drew. I don't want a world where you can't draw prizes. If it were all blooming conscientious and according to merit, I'd never have got her, see?
You too.
We've all got our dreams, sir. Mine's blue butterflies, Central Australia.
I'd like to see Fleur. That's what I really want, to see Fleur in the daytime. But where?
How's, Mr. Dessert, sir?
Oh, he's all right.
I wish you'd let him know that it was quite an accident, my pitching on his book. I've always regretted it.
Well, it's usually an accident, I think, when we snoop other people's goods. We never want to.
No, sir, I don't agree. Half mankind's predatory, only... Well, I'm not that sort myself.
Nor is... Cigarette.
Oh, thank you, sir, I'm sure. Thank you.
Give us your address, Bickett. If clothes are of any use, I might have some spare.
Well, I suppose, sir, Mrs. Mont wouldn't have anything to spare.
I expect she would. We'll send them along.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right. Now we'll have a rest. Heaven sent you here, Miss Collins. Well, come and get warm. I think you said you'd sit for the altogether.
Altogether what, sir?
Nude.
Oh.
It's quite impersonal. Think of art and 15 bob a day. You can think it over and let me know next time.
Thank you, sir.
Righto. Only please, don't sir me. By George, when you smile, Miss Collins, I see you impressionistically. Can you think of anything that'll keep you smiling?
No.
Well, try next time. Did you ever see L'après-midi d'une faune?
No, sir.
Well, I've got an idea. L'après-midi d'une dryad. Shades of Nijinsky. I see the whole thing. Well, that's all for today, Miss Collins. I've got to think it out. Will you give me your address?
Please, sir. Will you write to me at Kennington Post Office? I don't want my husband to know that I'm...
Affiliated to art? Ah, now there's the smile again. What were you thinking about?
Blue butterflies.
Well, think of them all the time. An hour and a half. 5 shillings. Thank you. And tomorrow, at 2:30, Miss Collins. And not sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's a frightfully bitter poem.
It's a frightfully true poem. Fleur.
No, Wilfred, you promised to be good.
Good God, Fleur! I haven't seen you in a fortnight. Does he ever ask you now whether you see me?
Never.
Why?
I don't know.
What would you answer if he did? Yes, that's your attitude. A shrug of the shoulders at everything. It can't last, Fleur!
Poor Wilfred,
stop,
I...
Don't move. He's down there in the street.
Michael! How could he have known?
Is that how little you know him? Do you suppose he'd be there if he knew you were here?
Why is he there, then?
He probably wants to see me. Huh. He looks as if he couldn't make up his mind. Now, don't get the wind up. He won't be let in.
Has he seen you?
No.
Where is he now?
Going away.
But it's strange, isn't it, Wilfred?
You don't suppose he's easy in his mind, do you?
I wish I'd never come here, and I'll never come again.
Oh, good.
You think I'm a heartless beast. Well, so I am. Now, goodbye.
Gross.
Why don't you look where you're going?
I'm sorry, I...
Oh, you. Aren't you the young man who married Fleur Forsyte?
Yes.
I'm her cousin, June. I thought I saw her just now.
Saw Fleur?
Opposite my gallery. She went into her house, or I should have spoken to her. I'd like to have seen her again. You're happy, aren't you? It's all worked out for the best.
I beg your pardon.
I hope you are. She ought to have married my little brother. Fleur's a pretty child.
Your little brother? Who was he?
What? John? Didn't you know John? He was too young, of course, and so was she by the time they were told they were head over ears. The family feud stopped that. Well, it's all past. I was at your wedding. I hope you're happy. Have you seen the Claude Brain show at my gallery?
No.
He's a genius. Well, goodbye, young man. Glad to have met you. You're not a beauty, but I like your face. Remember me to that child. You should go and see the Claude Brains.
A double life. And only the night before last, she was so kind to me. Oh, God. With Wilfred. No, I'd never stand that. I'd have to clear out. This is worse than the trenches.
Catalogue, please.
A shilling.
He didn't see me.
And if he comes back, I can tell him quite truthfully that I came to see, clawed brains. Skating on thin ice. It's not good enough. Wilfred must go. Poor Wilfred. Those beautiful eyes of his. Poor... What is it Amabel always saying? Pity's pop. But I don't want him to think I just played him up. Suppose I went over the deep end just once. We'd both have that to look back on. He in the east, me in the west. This is where I first saw Michael. Where I first met... It's not fair. It's unjust. I can love. I have loved. Wilfred and Michael can go to the deuce. John. Oh, John.
In episode 10 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogarde. Soames, Alan Howard. Fleur, Amanda Redman. And Michael, Gary Bond. Philip Sully played Wilfred Desert. Paul Daneman, Sir Lawrence Mont. Angela Pleasance, June. Stephen Garlick, Tony Bickett. And Sue Broomfield, Victorine. George Forsyte was Christopher Good. Sir Luke Sharman, John Moffat, Mr. Elderson, Donald G, Butterfield, Nicholas Gilbrook, Aubrey Green, John Bull. Gradman and Cuthbert Mothergill were played by Brian Miller. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The director was Sue Wilson.